Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode 484, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Chris Rivera from Chris's Tech Repair. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good to have you on the show. Now, Chris, you are fairly new to the computer business or computer technician field, correct?
Yes, from business standpoint, yes, I'm very like a newbie, what you would say, a newbie for
perfect. Well, let's go ahead and start off by basically you telling us your origin story or where you started and what got you interested in computer repair, what got you interested into technology, and kind of what's pushing you forward to start your own business.
Basically, I started with computers since I was young. They got these little tests. I don't know if you remember back then that they would put you in it has a little circle and it had different varieties. You're artistic, I guess mechanical, visionary, all this stuff. And I'm like, it always went to mechanic or hands-on. And I've always liked mechanics because all my family members are mechanics. So I was like, might not be a mechanic. But then I started learning about computers and my church has always been a big part of my family because my mom works there. So, they get technology and I always was to tinker with it. The parishioners there would give me some stuff or say, hey, set up a computer for us. Hey, look at this. Do you even understand this? And I remember having this big 20-pound computer and I had to lift the tabs to open it. And you had to be careful to make it, come down. There's like two different parts. Because if you let it fall down, it made a boom, like a big sound. I was like, wow, this was, high tech here. And then I learned, started learning like the DOS prompt. Like I've heard your story, you would call Dell. Right. And I would just look through the actual DOS prompt tree. Like that's where I started learning, okay, what's this for? What's a .exe? What's a ., all these other extensions that were in there. And I just started messing with them. Granted, I did, you got to mess up some stuff to fix it. So I was like, oops. And, had a couple of diskettes, had to reinstall. And I remember it's vividly seeing 3.1, I think, as my first Windows. And I'm like, oh, wow.
I
didn't know what I was doing, but I think I knew what I was doing.
Right. Well, and that's sometimes how we learn, though. Is by going in, trying to fix it, maybe breaking it even more and going, oh, that's not going to work, and figuring out how to basically bring it back to the, the original thing that we wanted to do. And, it's one of those things where I think that as we do this stuff, because I'm kind of the same way, I'm real hands-on, I just like getting in there, figuring out the problem and fixing it and seeing the end result. And obviously, we both know that there are many different ways to get to that end result. So that's awesome. So now, obviously, you like technology and you started, messing around with it and playing with it. Now, we're here now and you want to start a business. So what prompted you to actually want to start a computer repair business?
The funny story is it all started with my uncle who has a tire shop. And when I was going through college, he gave me a job, my first real job to really earn that paycheck. Granted, it was, cash and, but he taught me, he showed me a lot about business. And I'm like, I can do just the same thing you're doing. And I know technology and I can charge more. As John would say, charge as much as possible.
That's right.
But I had a couple stints. I know most of us start off with friends and family, neighborhood guy. My town's a small town here. We have three towns that surround us. We're a rural type of area. And, you know, it's about 5 miles. One city's literally like a quarter of a mile, and it's another city. The other one's like 5 miles away. And we all know each other here. My uncle's shop is just well known. And with that being said, I learned how to, you know, I was like, this is I just barely started working for somebody else after I got done with him. And I tried to have a couple stints just trying to run it, and I didn't have the education or the experience, you would say, to really run a business or understand that what am I getting into. Because I was 19 and I was in my turn 21, and I just totally forgot about computer business. And I started working for AT&T, so as a service tech, and that's where I got a little more into it. And as that, you know, I got laid off there, worked at Target, quit there because it was just nothing tech related, and did a couple contract jobs, and then now went to work for a school district, and now I'm at a college. So now at the college, I have a more easy schedule, as you would say. As you would know, as a full-time job, sometimes that, takes up a lot of time. But as my full-time job, I have some downtime that I can think about. There's really nothing like I have tickets like I do at my business. Hey, I need you to fix this and that. But there is just get the ticket done when you can. So in between the ticket time, I stumbled across your information on the internet. And that's actually what made me do my business, because it was just normal guys getting around, talking about computers, and giving the encouragement to start a business. That's where I got my encouragement from. Like, I knew the stuff, hard drive, but as I listened to you, I didn't know it all. You brought me back down to, hey, let me listen to what these guys are talking about. Let me go over my processes. Let me go over the stuff I use. Do I use it correctly? Am I using it legitimately? Am I, not giving the donation guy some money, because I am using it and profiting it from it, and I'm trying to use those principles in my business. And, that's really how I started my business a couple months ago. And I'm like, just go ahead and do it. Why not? What do you have to lose? Because then you'll have that question of why didn't I start it when I should have started it?
That's a good point. And I will tell you that this is something I've explained to my kids for a long time. I said, if you really want to make it, back in my day when I started working, I had what would be considered a pretty solid job. Now, I've been laid off periodically from time to time, but I still always had a job there. So I was in a unique position. Now, that's not everybody is in that same position. I've always told my kids, I'm like, if you really want to make any type of money, you need to go into business for yourself. And you need to find some sort of service or something you can do for somebody that is a need in the marketplace and that they're willing to pay for. And there's plenty of things to do. And I think technology and computer repair as itself, there is always going to be computers. Now, I know a lot of people have said over the last, couple of years now that, everybody's going to a cell phone and everybody's living on their cell phones and they're getting rid of computers. And the reality is that's only a partial truth. You can do probably 80% of the things you need to do on a cell phone. Is it enjoyable? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. And maybe to those people, it doesn't matter. If everybody wants to stare at a 5-inch screen versus a 24-inch screen, that's their business. But I know as you get older and things like that, I don't want to be staring at a tiny little screen. So I think there's a lot to be said for there's going to be need in a marketplace for computers to be fixed, for businesses to run whatever business software they're running. And if you look at the amount of small businesses in the United States, there's a lot. As a matter of fact, it's really the backbone of what this country runs on. And so with that being said, there's plenty to do out there. And there, in my opinion, there will always be plenty to do. And we just have to be able to market ourselves to get to a point where people understand what we're trying to do is help them And so we can help them make money for themselves in whatever business they're good at by taking care of the technology needs that they don't need to worry about. And even from a residential standpoint, people want to get on their computers and get on Facebook, search for things on Amazon or Google or whatever it is. So they need the ability to do that. Or they might even have they might want the ability to, I don't know, maybe post a resume online or make a resume so that they can go get a job or whatever it is. So things on the internet are making our lives a lot easier. But to be able to do that, you have to have a working piece of technology that's going to be able to get you on there, be able to print and all that kind of stuff. And I still think today it's going to be a computer, whether it be a laptop or a desktop. I look at things like tablets and phones, and they're great entertainment devices, but that's about it. So definitely it's worthwhile, I think, for you to think in this respect of going into business for yourself, because I think this is where you can be or have the most impact, not only for you and your family, but I think you can impact those around you and understand that what you're giving them is a source to help them in whatever they're doing to use their technology on a daily basis. So with that being said, you decided to start in your business. So what are some of the things right now that you've come across in your business that you're looking at and going, hey, I really kind of like working on this, maybe not so much this, or any types of stories of fixing things over time since you've been doing this? What types of things do you do on a regular basis?
Well, I guess there's a two-part to that question, because I was that guy, as Marvin B would be. I was a junior tech that said, I can do everything. You know, I can do servers, I can do desktops, I can do iPhones, Macs. But, you know, since listening to y'all, you know, the show itself, I had to really niche down what I like. Okay. I've tried it all. I've tried tablets. Don't like it. I iPads, don't like them either. Phones, don't like them either. It's just me. If I stayed in phones my whole career, then I would become really proficient at it. But my thing is just computers and residential at the moment. Businesses, I try to see like a small business, maybe. I guess you would stop it at maybe a couple workstations, no more than like 10, that I can, you know, manage myself, because I am a solo tech at the moment. You know, I've, you know, been honest with myself. Jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah, that works out in the beginning, as a beginning tech, but as a business, you got to have a guy for that. As they say, you know, a tablet guy, cell phone guy, if you really want to be proficient at what you're doing, is what I see, you know, observing you guys and myself, being honest with yourself. That's one thing you need to really tell yourself. Can I really support that? You know, because a computer repair is a different time frame than a phone repair. People rely on those phones like their life's on it. And at least a computer, you can have it a couple of days. Like mine, turnover is not, 72 hours, I'm okay. You know, 48 hours to 72 hours, I tell them. And then they'll get the computer back. But if you tell a person with a phone, hey, I want my phone back now. How long is it going to take? A couple hours? You know, and then you got to have parts on hand, which, you know, I dabbled in it, but it's not worth, which I learned from Chris, the other Chris. Like, I get a lot from every one of you. the financial part. Okay, I'm spending $200 on this, and I'm only making $300 on this, but I'm spending 5 hours on it. I've made $20 an hour. That's not, you know, where I can just charge a customer, you know, to do a computer repair $120 an hour if they're willing to pay that, or bring it home, then we'll do it at home. You know what I mean? So it's not worth my time, not worth the headache. It's not worth unless you're going to pay me my computer, you know, my repair rate, then I'll make it worth my time. But even then, I try to do it like, oh, this phone's going to cost $500 to replace. Oh, I'll just go buy a new one. Just like, you know, I've heard you say too. You just upcharge it and like, okay, you know, it's a nice way to say we're not good for each other. It's just we're not good for each other. It's, and you know what? And I have learned to say no. And that's a good thing. Know when to say no. Even if starting out, for anybody starting out listening to the podcast, I was the guy that said, give me everything. You don't have to, because then you're going to deal with those customers who do not want to pay. And when you don't have, and you did a job and you did it right, and they don't want to pay, it's kind of like, really? Then it makes you question, am I in business for, you know, why am I in business if I'm going to get gypped every time? But if you move your rate up at the, you know, at a nice, you know, as what the industry can handle, if your community can handle, then you'll get the customers who will pay. And that's what I learned, that I took your advice. It took your guys' advice and said, you know, I had to turn away a couple customers who came in to me. I'm like, I'm not doing that. No, this is my price. I am not moving from it. Oh, we'll call you back later. They never called back. That's fine with me now. Because we do have a job, yes, you know, it's a little different story because I do have a full-time job paying the bills, but yet if I ever become full-time tech, they don't have to question me, well, you are so low now and you're high now. No, I'm going to be high and I'm going to go higher because my service is quality, not quantity.
That is a very good point, Chris, because a lot of people don't think about that. And I think it's okay when we start off in the beginning for you to try everything and find out what the things that you like to work on and stay with those, or what things are, shall I say, easier for you.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that, man. I know some people that can take apart cell phones and replace screens in like minutes, and they are amazing and they do a ton of them. Me, I've tried to do a couple, and I'd rather stick two forks in my eye than basically work on a cell phone. I just don't want to do it. It is not fun to me. Now, again, what's weird is now I'll still take apart a laptop and I'll desolder parts on it and solder parts back to it. But for some weird reason, I actually enjoy that. I don't know why, but I do. So I will continue to do those types of things that I'm good at and that I don't mind doing, as long as I'm getting paid accordingly. And I think that's kind of your message there, is make sure you're charging what you're worth. And the thing is, even though we have full-time jobs, the reality is that means, with that being said, with family and everything, my time is much more valuable than maybe even some other people's, because there's a ton of things I can do. And I've told customers before, I said, I would rather go and play video games than to do that job for X amount of dollars. It's just not going to happen. And they were kind of like, okay, well, I don't talk to those customers anymore. And that's perfectly fine with me. So obviously you're dealing with computers. Now you're doing virus removals. Have you done any type of networking? I know you said you work now at the college. Are you working in the technology field, or what are you doing for the college?
At the college, I am actually what they call a computer specialist number two. Basically, I run my campus. Now, you know, as anything else, you have the main office at the district, what they would call the district. But my town, my college campus itself, you know, I handle anything from phone, networking, but they still have individuals who take care of that, that are an hour and a half away. But if something needs to be looked at now, hey, I need you to move that phone today, I'm the guy they call. Oh, I need you to check that patch cable. Is that patch through? Is the printer work? Why is the printer not working? The new Office 2016 is not working. Can you make sure, you know, 2013's off? Or, you know, anything that happens on my campus technology-wise, I take a look at it first and then, you know, relay it to the appropriate person who needs to look at it even further as tier two, tier three. But to be honest, I've done that I've had the luxury of knowing, you know, my old job where I worked at the school, middle school, I was able to touch everything, handle everything when I needed to. So, you know, me being there at the campus, it's kind of, you know, getting my knowledge up and everything like that with trying to stay current with technology and learning two systems. Actually, I had to learn a whole new system when I joined this new job here, my job currently, because they do it totally different from what I'm used to. And I'm like, whoa, but it's the same concept, you know. I'm more an AD now. I'm more in an active directory. I'm actually dealing with active directory, SCCM, you know, sending packages out and stuff like that. And this company I was before was, I don't know if you ever heard of Landesk. It's almost like Ninja on steroids. It's Ninja on steroids, basically. And it's just one of those big companies out there that, you know, you're able to remote in, push software, you know, check if a computer's online, turn it on and off, just on a greater scale. You know, I had 800 computers at my old job. So, you know, I took care of them myself. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I had the, you know, like I was very happy with the technology that I was exposed, and it's helping me understand what I want to do, you know.
Right.
And being my own boss.
There you go. Well, and it sounds like you've got those, what I call troubleshooting skills, which is basically really 90% of this work. Troubleshooting, and the other 10% is learning how to run your business properly. And that comes with time in the field and just doing it. So you've definitely got the troubleshooting part where you're sounds like you're doing that on a regular basis. Now, when it comes to your customers for your business, what are some of the types of things that you're seeing out there as far as, are there still a lot of viruses? Are you having hardware failures with hard drives or whatever? Or what types of things are you dealing with?
For the most part right now, I'm dealing with virus removals at the moment. As I think, I don't know if I stated this earlier, that I just started my business now, but I came back to my business like within a couple of months ago too, prior to starting my business. I took a hiatus because I wasn't ready for it. And another thing is always to be honest with yourself. If you're going to be committed to your business, be 100%, because your customers might not come back to you who you had a year ago, which is what I'm sort of dealing with a little bit. They know I'm here, but it's just, you know, when a computer breaks, like you said, when the Internet Explorer breaks, that's when they call you. But if it's just a, you know, just a small little virus or whatever, I could deal with it. I just close this browser out and I'll just go off all my day. But I'm going to go reach out to those loyal customers I had before and trying to start selling my maintenance plan that I offer through, you know, Ninja, as I think we've mentioned a lot on the podcast. Ninja's a good platform. But the price is not what I'm selling them on, is what I've learned from you guys. Selling them the peace of mind is the best way to do it. Because then after, when you start saying the price, they're like, that might be worth it. I'm like, it is worth it. But you got to, you know, get them to say that. Not, hey, give me $400 for the whole year. Why? They're like, no. Well, you know, just think about it. You know, I had this one customer who he just wanted my $120 virus removal, which I don't mind saying. And I told him, if you get another virus, you're paying another $120. And if you pay my maintenance plan, this is covered under the maintenance plan. Oh, I'll talk to my wife. I'm like, okay, I just want to, you know, I'm not trying to pressure you, but I'm trying to save you money at the same time. I mean, I'm not going to feel bad. I mean, I'm going to charge you, but then I'm like, if you bought my plan, it's already took care of this already. You know, you want to do good by your, how you say, if you do good to your customers, good will come to you. And that's how I look at my business. You know, I'm not going to nickel and dime you every 5 minutes, but, you know, when I got to step out my house, you're going to pay. I'm sorry, you're going to pay.
Well, and I think, see, a lot of people, and I've said this before, a lot of people look at managed services of any sort, or recurring revenue, as I like to call it. There's different things where, yes, your break fix is basically when something breaks, you got to go out and fix it. Your managed services or recurring revenue is going to be that monthly payment that comes in. But here's the way I like to look at it from the customer standpoint. It's a win-win situation because it is much easier for me when I am maintaining a system on a regular daily, monthly, yearly basis. If it does get some sort of malware, it is very easy for me to go in and clean it up. Versus I'm going to charge a little bit more if I'm doing a one-off virus removal, because it generally can take me more time to make sure everything is out of there. And so, and plus doing the updates and all the different maintenance of, you know, tuning up and all that kind of stuff that you do, which again, as far as a virus malware removal, I feel it is criminal. I don't understand how people have separate prices, but I think it is almost criminal to not do a tune-up along with that virus removal and make sure everything's updated and ready to go. Because a lot of times the reason the updates and stuff weren't working was because they had a piece of malware on there. So for somebody to go in and just do a virus removal and not actually do a tune-up on a machine and make sure that everything is updated so all the holes are plugged, I think is just wrong. And I don't say everything is wrong as far as doing things, but there are some things where I think it's wrong.
And I agree. I agree with you on that. I mean, because let's say you charge, I go easy numbers. Let's say $300 for the year, right? And you just got to give it a good wipe down. Like you said, you know, that 15-hour wipe down, but just, you know, you change it up a little bit. Don't, you know, we have tools now that, you know, we use that just give, if you give them a good cleaning, a good, you know, tune up and put your remote software on there. You're never, I mean, I'm not going to say never because things can happen. Customers are customers. Clients are clients still. You just get that malware, that, you know, that toolbar that installs, that adware that comes in. And usually the solutions they have out there catches it before it even does any big damage. As, you know, we would see with this pop-up error, with the FBI error. I don't know if you ever see, have you ever seen the bugs eating the screen adware like a couple years ago?
No, I've heard of it, but I have not actually seen it.
It's actually pretty cool. I had to let it happen. I'm like, what? I'm like, bugs on your screen? Are you sure? I had a client. I said, the bugs were eating her screen. I'm like, you sure you can't just wipe them off? I mean, it was a good client, so I could say this to that person without being, you know, offending. I'm like, I got to go see this. I had to take I had it on my old phone. I took a picture of it. I'm like, it's literally eating the screen.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. That's like, this is pretty cool though.
That's very creative. I'll tell you, I'll give it that.
And I'm like, shoot, screw the FBI stuff. I mean, if I were to be a hacker, I would do fun stuff. I'm sorry. I can't take people's money. I'll just do some, hey man, just in the, it's, I even put a, you know, a solution. Hey, it's on the wallpaper. Just take it off. But it's, you know, it's just like one of those things that like, haha, you know, haha. But, in all honesty, if you fix it right the first time, and that's my little hashtag I have on my, cause I'm trying to get into the, I know, you know, you're not into social media as much either, into like Instagram and Twitter, which I'm learning to, even being, you know, as young as I am, I'm trying to, you know, embrace that platform and, you know, fix it right. You know, I think I put, what is it? Hashtag fix it right first or something like that, or fix it right. And that's my little tagline, like fix it right. You know, because if you don't fix it right the first time, you're going to pay, you're going to get a, you know, be a pain in the butt the second time, because then they're going to say, well, don't you warranty this? Don't you know? Like, it's on there, the paper that, you know, but like you said, sometimes they just want it fixed. They could care less about the paperwork, but you still get the paperwork done, but they want it done. And then later, if, you know, down the road, it happens again, you're like, I took care of that. Oh, the hard drive's filling up. Oh, I see that. You want to, you know, look into a new hard drive? Do you want to, you know, upgrade the RAM? Are my computer's running slow? You know, stuff like that. You can already suggest to them before you even, you know, before it even gets that far.
Right. And again, it's having that proactive approach where you're there for the customer ahead of time, receiving problems that they're going to have down the road. And you can help so that they can have their technology up and running where they don't have to worry about it. You know, I tell the story of, we're talking about Internet Explorer breaking. And the reason, going back to what I was saying before, a lot of times we're doing a one-off virus removal and they're not actually bringing us the computer until they have, it is so infected that they actually can't get on the internet because their browser won't even open or their browser is hijacked. And so because of that, they have this horrible experience. And when I talk about the maintenance plans, I let them know. I said, do you want to have this up and running just like the day you brought it home from the store? And if you have it up and running and usable, then I think that that's the best way to run instead of having to go down, turn on your computer, go make a pot of coffee, get a cup, go back down, and you're just starting now to boot into Windows 6 minutes later. That, to me, is not a fun experience.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm like, how can you deal with that? You know, us, we're like, is it on yet? Is it ready? I'm ready to go. Come on, let's go. You know, that's how I got this job. We were doing last year a project of replacing all the hard drives with SSD drives. And that was a fun project. But I see, you know, that introduced me more of the SSD. I'm like, dang, it turns on pretty fast. And it's like, how would this work with the, you know, because our regular standard now is, well, I guess the home user is like four gigs of RAM. I go Intel, you know, i5 with a 5 gig hard drive. I mean, 500 gig hard drive. And I'm like, if you throw an SSD in there, it'll operate a lot faster. You know, and bump that up. I mean, you can bump it up still to 8 gigs, and you're flying. You know, without paying the premium in CPU, RAM, gaming, whatever. You know, but these are, you know, our regular users, they're really like, wow, this is fast. I'm like, you know, if you spend a little, you'll make a little. You know, you'll make it work a little bit better.
I agree.
Yeah, in the long run, but. You know, one comment I do have, I always love when I say it's Comcastic, because I was that tech. I was the tech. And you know what? I can give you an insight of that. I don't know if anybody's ever come on the show, you know, being a former tech. I was a, you know, AT&T tech, which dealt with, you know, the lines, the, you know, they were moving over to coaxial. And I can tell you 90% of them don't know exactly what we know. Just like you said, like Marvin said, he has his own fluke meter to meter the equipment, and how we have our own fluke meter whatever Time Warner, whatever those techs are, whoever, you know, your tech is in your area. We're just trained to do it and go. We're running pizza techs. Hate to say that. we're told to get 6-7 jobs done a day, and say, burn and run, you know, let the help desk deal with that. I mean, yeah, help desk, let customer service deal with that, because they're not going to spend money on certain things, you know, and it's all big one conglomerate again anyway. So that's the funny part. But I learned a lot of skill trade in there, because I came from the actual mainframe office to the house, and now I'm inside the house working the network now. So I completed the whole path coming back to the, you know, to the end of the path. So it's a very fun experience going through that, you know, like where your dial tone comes from, where your internet comes from, where all of it comes from. And, you know, it's be nice to the tech someone here and there, but I know they can be not so nice people, as we would say. And they won't know as much as we know. I can tell you that.
You know, it's funny that a lot of the techs, when I used to have Wide Open West here, a lot of the techs that I've dealt with, they're perfectly fine techs. They're good at what they do. Right. The problem is their hands are tied to a certain extent where they can only do so much. And I was having, when I was having a problem for quite a while, for about, it was a few months. Actually, it was longer than that, but a few months when they started working on it, I would get supervisors calling me. I would get the supervisors coming out. I would have engineers sitting in my driveway, hooked up to the line, monitoring all the incoming, outgoing traffic. And they literally, I mean, they just couldn't figure out the problem. They spent about $5,000, mm-hmm, redoing a line underneath the road, because when it was the person that had originally engineered it had moved some things when there was a broken line for whatever reason. And so they had moved some stuff around and they were thinking that that's why there was this intermittent drop in signal. Mm-hmm. But they really could never come down to it. They tried grounding and all these different things that some of them I knew absolutely would not work and it didn't really matter. But they were just trying to figure it out from their standpoint. And the problem is, what I kept getting told is the higher ups that used to be field techs, they were in a higher up position now. And they're like, well, back in the day when I was a field tech, this, when we had this type of problem, this is what always caused it. It's like, yeah, we're not back in the day, unfortunately. And your network has changed since you were in the field. So you're talking about apples and oranges. It's not the same thing. But that's kind of the mind, you know, and again, it's a money game. You know, they're all about the money. And we won't talk about Comcast because when I got on today and opened my web browser, it told me you are at 100% of your allotment for the month.
God, I know you're
and I've got 5 more days. So in a couple of days they're getting a phone call. That's all I can say. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what? And I just noticed that when I actually, because I had to get Comcastic because of where I live. I don't trust my own AT&T company that's the funny part. Because of what I know of how the network works, of how the cable runs and how we ran it, no, I would never do that. Because I know what's going to happen. I know what the issue is. You know, just like you said, they don't know what it is. It could be an air core 24 gauge, a 22 gauge. And they're popping open.
Yeah. See,
you know, and then they don't want to realize that because you got to go to each splice. You got to dig up wherever you're digging up. And you got to, you know, test that line for real rather than repair the cable. But besides the point, I have hadn't had any issues with Comcastic. I'm actually fairly happy. You know, I took my own router. I don't have that little free Wi-Fi thing, which nobody's getting Wi-Fi from me though. in my neighborhood, they're not getting none of my Wi-Fi. But I'm streaming. My daughter's streaming. My wife is streaming on her phone, and I'm streaming on my computer. Plus, I have my little, you know, Android box where I watch my videos, and you know, it's actually working pretty good. I haven't had any hiccups, even when I'm doing some big downloading or, you know, anything like that. You know, we try our best, and then when we're stuck with our hands behind, you know, are tied behind our back, we don't know, you know, it's like, who can we help? Who can we call? Because I got a big project coming up with my church now because we're upgrading. I put that system in back when they only had 2 computers. It has grown to 20.
Wow.
And guess what this smart guy does? He just daisy changed, you know, I daisy chain switches. I'm like, oh, that's why I got broadcast on. That's why you're losing internet. You know, and you know, sometimes you just got to own it up and like, okay, you know, we're going to the main, you know, to the IT director of the whole church. And they're going to help us out with, you know, rewiring everything to Cat 6. Putting some fibers in between buildings. And I'm like, I know what to do, but just like, you know, some of you say, know where your niche is at. Know where you can start and stop or just help. Because if I did that whole thing again, it would be thousands and thousands of more dollars of what that it should cost. You know? So you know, I'm helping them. I'm being the person in the middle. Basically, IT from the church is talking to me, and I'm talking to the church. So we're able to, I can translate it back to what they need. So
very good.
Which is going to be a good experience, you know, learning a little bit about server. I mean, I know how they work. I know how packages get pushed out, but I don't know it enough to really go in there and says, oh, your DNS is screwed up. This process is working just like Marvin B with his Fluke tool. He can tell you 5 minutes. This is down. This is down. This is no good. I can't tell you that. I don't have the money to buy that. You know, but I like to know, but I'm sticking like probably what you do. You probably do a little. Do you do any servers or?
No, not anymore. I haven't done a server since server 2003.
Yeah, see, that's where I stopped. That's where I stopped, too. And I mean, I think it was 2008, but that was a class. But I understand the concepts. The concepts are pretty easy. You know, one computer talks to the other. I mean, it's like, but then once you get down into the, you know, depending on the software they use, it's like, oh, Marvin B, where you at? It's like, hey, I need you, man. I'm sort of stuck. And, you know, and I try to be honest with my clients, too. I try to be honest and say, look, this is what I can do. Please note, I do work a regular job. Now, I don't know. How do you say that up front, too, or? Because I'm trying to find a nice, I'm going to say a nice way, but I'm like, I'm willing to help you, you know, but as long as you follow my schedule. And that's why I'm not having any trouble, but I want to make sure I'm not putting people off saying, no, I can't, you know, I can't talk to you, you know.
Well, Chris, to be honest with you, you're probably asking the wrong guy, because I try everything within my power to let them not want to bring me on board. And quite honestly, my honesty actually has been backfiring on me lately. And yeah, people like just don't, they're like, no, I like you. I want you. And that's it. And I'm like, well, really, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I don't know if you want to do. No, well, it's good. You know, and like I always say, everybody has their price and I do too.
Right. And you know what? And I haven't had that issue yet. I'm just, you know, I'm telling people, you know, I'm able to help you. I can take the lucky thing is I can take phone calls at my job without it. As long as I'm not with the boss, you know, my boss or doing work, that's priority over my business, quote unquote. You know, I can actually call, say, hey, I get off work at 6, you know, is that be a good time for you to come by? I try not to have them come to my job because it's sort of an open, you know, they can look you up. They can look me up and see where I'm at. You know, I work at the college. That's just, you know, public information. But I try to tell them, wait, you know, if there's an urgency, you know, emergency or anything, because I usually try to put a fee on that. I say, if you want to bring it to me at my job, it'll be an extra, I'm thinking about 60, 50 bucks. Oh, we'll wait till you get off. Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, so because I don't want that to hit, you know, butt heads with each other, you know?
Yeah. One of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to be disingenuous to the employer that's paying you.
Right.
And I don't take phone calls anyways. Mm. Everything goes to voicemail or email, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. And if you've already moved on, that's fine by me. But to be honest with you, people, for whatever reason, if it's gotten to the point where they're looking me up, then for whatever reason, that's who they want to deal with, I guess. And so a lot of times, even if it takes me till the evening to get back to them, they're still waiting and going, okay, what's the next step? And I give them the next step. And a lot of times, my customers might wait a couple days before they even get back to me and go, okay, let me, where can I drop this off, or when can I drop this off? And we set up a time and they drop it off, or I go out on site or whatever I need to do. But I don't really push the issue, and I don't really want to deal with customers at work. To me, 99.9% of the time, I know a lot of people disagree with this, There are no real emergencies. They are all imagined in the customer's head. To them, it is an absolute emergency. No, an emergency is when your child hurts themselves and has to be rushed off to the hospital. Or an emergency is when your parachute doesn't open after jumping out of a plane. Yeah, these are real emergencies. Your server being down is absolutely not an emergency. It seems like it because you don't know what to do. But the reality is in most businesses, and I will say most being well over 95%, there are no real emergencies. They can wait till the next day. A lot of them could wait till the next week. But we have made it so that we try to make it so convenient for them, which is fine. Hey, if you want to jump through hoops, we can go back to the circus and we'll hold a flaming hoop out there and go ahead and jump through it. That's fine. That's just not the type of business that I want to do. And so going back to your question earlier, a lot of times I will let the customer know, especially if it's a business, I am only available during certain times. I said, as long as you have no emergencies, and I let them know right up front, then we can work together. I can maintain your network. Most of it I can do remotely. It's not a big deal. But if you need somebody that's like Johnny on the spot, on call, 24/7, I am not the business you need to be dealing with. You need to call somebody else. And somebody else can't lose their hair prematurely and go to the grave early. That's fine by me. It's just not going to be me. So that's the way I look at it. And it's a weird thing. And a lot of people don't understand this. When you try to push customers away, for some reason, I don't know if it's like they just like it, but they seem more attracted.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's kind of what I do. I do let them know up front I'm not available 24/7. A lot of times I'm not available on the weekends, depending on what's going on. I take that time off, do the things that I enjoy doing, and then we'll get to it as soon as we can possibly get to it, as long as you're good with that. And if they're not, again, there are other businesses that will be able to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah, because I just actually got back from vacation, actually. I was out on the beach for a couple, 3 days, so I had a client just in case because we were having a weird issue. These Asus's cases are very, very funny. They like to play tricks on you. right before I left, I was like, okay, here's your computer. I turn it on at, I'm at home. It's working. It turns on fine, but that's what the case disassembled. So I assemble the case and bring it to the customer, and it's not turning on or showing any video. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, he's like, because then you don't want that perception of, oh, he just broke my computer. Right. and I'm feeling a little nervous. The guy's really nice. The customer's so nice, and that's being personable. Being able to talk to the customer, which I saw the show today, and I can relate to that totally 100%. If I wasn't able to talk to this customer and just talk with him while I was having a heart attack, while I was having like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to do this. This is a pre bono, just a pre bono job. I'm not gonna be able to charge for this job. In my head, but I'm having that smile on my face, joking with him, And finally, we found that the case was not pushed in like exactly all the way in. And once I got it in, boop, turned on. I'm like, are you kidding me? I even looked at him and said, see, that's why you hired me.
Now, what type of case was this?
An Asus. It was an older Asus, like 8 years ago. It was at the, it just said Asus on it, and I'm like, I'm gonna remember this word right here.
Now, now was that a desktop computer or a laptop?
Yeah, it was a desktop computer.
Really interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And I was trying to, because you have to fold it out at an angle and take the top, the front part with the power and all the little plugins are in the front. For some reason, when I put it back in, almost like a book, putting a book back together, I had the hinge inside, but it wasn't making that snap at the end.
Okay, so there was probably some sort of switch that needed to be made in order for it to turn on. It was a safety measure.
Yeah, and I think either the power was being held on to, because when I pushed the power, it just didn't do like a regular power on, and so. this is the more of the story is, have some jokes in your pocket with the customer. See if he laughs at some of them while you're, you know, panicking because that you have to do a pro bono job, which I actually talked to, that's the customer, the client I talked into getting the maintenance plan because he's just like, my wife said, I'm like, you know what? You know, to give you and her a peace of mind, this maintenance plan costs so much. When you get another virus, it's for free. I fix it for free for you. He's like, I'll speak to her. Okay, just let me know. You know, I'm here as always. Here's my number. You know, give me a call, you know. And I pick up things like he likes Ohio State football. So, I know some players from Ohio. You know, you try to grasp that to get that connection. And I think that's what you're talking about today on Computer Repair, the podcast, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And just you pick out something they like. And you talk about that too, and bam, they're your customer for life. I found that, you know, I find that to be a good thing because then they're like, oh, I'm able to talk to this computer guy. I'm my computer guy at work. He don't even want to talk to me. He just come and do his work and leave. And that's our stigmata. You know, that's our stigmata. Like we're just that guy that just fixes it and leaves and can't talk or doesn't know how to talk or, you know, but we do have many fires to put out. So it's like, it's not that I don't want to talk to you. It's just I got a lot of things. My boss is on me about something. So I'll talk to you later, though. but yeah, this business, starting up my business has been something that's very new to me and very that I want to make it work. That's the thing. The goal is you have to want to make it to work, because if you don't want to make it to work, just work a 9-to-5.
Exactly.
Working 9 to 5 and punch in, punch out, you know, and that's why I'm trying to balance my personal life and my business life, because things popped up last minute when I was about to leave on vacation and I was trying to put those fires out before I left, because I can hold your computer for 2 days, but for 6 days, it's kind of hard to justify that. And I'm not leaving where I'm, you know, I'm heading off 2 hours away. I'm not coming back for a certain amount of money. If it's $500, hey, I'll be back. I'm going to go make this $500. I'll see you in a bit. But you got to know when to say no to, you know, give that time to your kids. I didn't have that when I was growing up. So I want to give that to my own kids. So it's, you know, something that you have to learn too. Gotta learn how to balance your life, because if you're not honest with yourself, you're not gonna be able to be as successful. You'll be able to make money. It's always money to be made, as we know. But will you be happy? Will you not be pulling your hair out? Just like, you know, I cut my hair short. That's just how I like it. So if any grays come out, it is what it is. You can't see them, they're cut. But I'm just, you know, you gotta know how to balance all that together, because it, you know, all the money in the world ain't gonna make you happy, but if you like what you do, you'll be happy.
Well said, Chris. Chris, let's go ahead and I want to ask you a question about any types of tools, software or hardware that you've ran into either as you've been doing your business or even your work, or as you've learned over the last few months. What types of things are you playing with? And I know you mentioned Ninja earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what other types of tools and stuff do you find very useful in your business?
Well, I don't know if you've heard of Super Anti-Spyware, right?
Oh, yes.
I've never used that again. That was in the beginning. I don't know if it's ever changed, but I screwed up someone's registry just running that, and it never came back on.
Really?
Just like Combo Fix. And I'm like, oh God, what did I just do? Luckily, I was able to get to the restore point and bring it back. And I'm like, you know what? Where's Malwarebytes? Where's my old buddy Malwarebytes at? But I've used the regular stuff like Malwarebytes. I'm actually using TechSuite before, you know, I'm trying to use that more, integrate that into my business so I can make it a little. I know it's a little early to make it mainstream or make it less processed, but it's got to start somewhere. So anytime I get a computer in, I run Tech USB. I also run, which I'm learning from y'all, run hardware checks. I use Crystal Disk Info. I solved actually two problems with that after I heard it from the show, because I would have gone in there and tried to fix the virus, but it was a hard drive read bad. I'm like, you have a bad one. What do you want to do? Because then that makes me stop what I'm doing and says, look, hardware check, you have a bad hard drive. Even if I do any work, it's not going to last. Oh, I'll get with you. We'll do a clone. I have yet to hear from them, but I know at least I didn't spend more time than I needed to. So I use that. I think it's Glare. Wait, hold on. Let me see. I think I have it. What is it? I've been using some of the all-in-one Windows repair too. I've downloaded that.
Now, how do you like that?
It's all right. I'm just trying to get used to it. Like some of the stuff that you put out there, I'm just trying to make sure I understand it before I use it. D7, it's a little too. I think it might be just like you said. Someone needs to sit down with me and just show me what to do, with it, because it's a lot of stuff on there that is just overwhelming. Not meaning that I don't understand what it is doing. It's just understanding how to use it to what I want to use it for. Because it has a lot of neat things on it, too.
It does. And that's the whole thing about tools is D7-2 is a 900-pound gorilla. And even the D7 that you can get for free is a great tool that a lot of people use. But there is a huge learning curve as far as using it, just because you just got to take time with it. And we're all a little bit different in our processes. But it is still one of my go-to tools depending on the situation. And so, I use pretty much all of them. And I've noticed that even though I'd love to use just one to fix the problem, that doesn't always work. So sometimes I might need to grab something else or even grab another tool out there, a Windows all-in-one repair tool, things like that. Yeah, no combo fix.
No, that's like you said, that's a Hail Mary.
It is a Hail Mary, and I don't even need. I can use Windows all-in-one repair tool versus combo. I believe it does a lot of the same things that combo fix used to do, which was actually their basic tool would fix a lot of internet issue problems. Resetting the TCP/IP stack and all these different things. A lot of the Windows services that deal with the network. So a lot of times proxies and all that kind of stuff would be reset through CombiFix. So just these little tiny things that maybe a Windows repair tool wouldn't get to, but I think I've been able to do mostly all the same things with Windows all-in-one repair.
Yeah. And that's why I like the simplicity of, it's not a hit on D7 or D7-2. They're probably wonderful tools. I don't want to take away from that. Don't use that. Use it. It's powerful. But like you said, it's a 900-pound gorilla where Tech USB is very forward, very easy to understand, very easy to manipulate the reports.
Yes.
And that's why I went with them. I tried Kabuto, but I didn't feel it was for me yet because they are still in their infancy to me. But that's me. Hey, take what I know, whatever, But like you said, you've always, put Ninja on. I took Ninja and I ran with Ninja ever since. So, to each their own. Kabuto is just coming out with a lot of new stuff, a lot of, users, able to add users, able to track policies, able to integrate with Repair Shopper for different, plans, stuff like that. But since I put so much time in Ninja, I'm going to just stick with Ninja at the moment, Maybe down the road I'll move over, but, that'll be a call I'll make later down the road. But any other tools? I do have a toaster to
make toast?
A hard drive toaster.
Oh, yeah.
A hard drive toaster. I bought my first one. I'm actually trying to make an office in my house in the moment. But right now, I'm working out of my living room with my laptop, which I use both, which I'm converting from my old Toshiba to a HP Pavilion laptop, G G7 at the moment, which I'm talking to you on right now. It's pretty fast because there's nothing on it. I'm like, yeah, that helps out a lot. when we download this, ISO, this other ISO, oh, let me download this tool. Let me check out this tool. And you forget to erase it. It builds up in time, you know? It builds up. It just builds up. So, that's basic. I use the basic stuff. I mean, I'm trying to remember this one tool I'm using. Jesus. I'm actually using it more now. Oh, I also use Defraggler.
Okay. No, I have to stop you there.
Uh-huh.
Why do you use Defraggler?
It's just one of those processes that you do. I hate to say that.
So here's the only, and this is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the defragging of the hard drive, I haven't found a use for that since basically Windows XP went away. Because, and especially right. Once you get up to Windows 7, Windows 7 did such a phenomenal job as far as the operating system, and even Windows 8 and Windows 10, even that much better, of basically doing that stuff in the background automatically, even with non-SSDs.
Right, right.
So a lot of times I haven't seen it in very many years where defragging a hard drive actually helps at all, unless, now I'll give a caveat, mm-hmm. unless that service, when it's in its idle state, is not running for some reason and you do get a really badly defragged hard drive, that might be one of those ones where you can kind of get some things back in order a little bit to make it run a little bit faster, but that's, I rarely see that.
Yeah, I mean, I do the quick one just to throw it on there because, like you said, it's one of those processes you've done.
Gotcha.
And try it out. If I don't see no things, then it'll be to the pile in the back, with the other tools I have. But my main thing is I use, like I said, Tech Suite. I mean, I have also the Webroot integration. So Webroot, I'm getting to know Webroot as an antivirus I resell.
Okay.
With the Ninja. So it's with it. So I like it. Viper's not bad either, but Webroot, I wanted to try it out. So I like it from ever since I first got it. What other tools do I have? When I first got your show, I saw the USB things you had and just have all the USB on the ring.
Yeah.
I need to do that. I need to do that because I have them on my computer and it's just sitting there. All my ISOs.
Gotcha.
And I need to do something of organization because I do have everything still on CDs. I still have everything on CDs too. If I ever need them.
Well, full disclosure, I just actually had to use a Windows XP Service Pack 3 CD the other day to load two laptops up. So and I use an external DVD drive because the drives, when I went to put it in the machine, they sounded so horribly bad.
Wow.
I thought it was going to chew my disc up. And what ended up happening was this customer bought them from a refurbisher, supposedly, and there was a refurbisher service tag on it, which was fine. It had the number for XP, the license number. But what they did was, because they were turning and burning, which a lot of companies do, they basically had one image that they just threw on all these machines. Well, that's fine as long as everything was working. Well, he opened these computers up to use them for his survey business, and they weren't working. There were some certain things that weren't working. They weren't updating. They weren't doing the things that they were supposed to do, even though he really doesn't have these things online.
Right.
So what ended up happening was I had to go back in, figure out what type of product it was, and get the, and it wasn't a refurbisher. It wasn't a refurbisher key. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was just an OEM. Oh, and so wow. I went and got it, my regular OEM vanilla discs that I had made years ago, threw that sucker in there, went in, went and did the 1-800 number to Microsoft. It authenticated. Oh, I know. It wouldn't authenticate to the Microsoft servers. And that was a problem he was having with both of them. So I reloaded the OEM software on there. No problem. Took it just fine. So.
Yeah, I'd stick away from, I don't know. At the moment, I'm doing 7 and up. I know, but I have a lot of my clients that have Vista still. And I don't know. Sometimes the products don't support those, even with them with the highest service pack. And I try to tell them, hey, I can do it, but I'm not guaranteeing you this one. And if you move up to a Windows 7, I can get you in something that will work. Or, and it's always depending on their financial situation, too. And as you said, if you spend a little more, you get more of a quality. And people even with fixed incomes can, you know, they can afford these things. It's just what they're willing to spend on them. And if they value the tennis shoes, like the $300 tennis shoes, like they do the computers, yeah, they can afford a computer for $600. That's what I tell them. Like, you don't want to buy a $600 computer, but you'll buy the LeBrons that just came out. That's a little head scratcher there. You know, it's a little bit of a head scratcher, but hey, I don't know anything.
Well, Chris, it's been very, very enjoyable talking to you and understanding the beginnings of your business and some of the things that you're doing. It sounds like you're doing a lot of the right things out there, and you've got your head in the game as far as moving your business forward in learning, educating yourself, which I think is key to this business. So good job on that. I just want to thank you for coming out and being willing to share. And I know, you know, you said it was kind of maybe a little nerve-wracking, but it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's actually, now I feel like I can host the show, but don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that. But I'll, you know, if ever, you know, need a different, you know, perspective of things, I'm always here. You know, it's fun. This is fun.
Good. Well, I want to thank you again for coming on the show and taking the time. If you want to let people know where they could find you at, maybe if they want to ask you some more questions, where would they do that?
They can get, email me at Chris's, CRISSTECHREPAIR @gmail.com at the moment. I'm still working on my website. Also, if they're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/ Chris's Tech Repair. Just look me up. I'm there. That's where I have most of my customers anyway. So just drop me a line if you need to.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. All right. You guys can find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hellish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you'd like to be a guest like Chris was, send an email to guest@podnuts.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNable Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com/deals. Help support the Podnuts Network by giving $1 a month through our subscribe button over at podnuts.com or patreon.com/podnuts. That helps the network to bring you these great shows and to pay the housekeeping bills. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.